Right. Very glad to begin the second panel. Here's Neve. Is there a chair? We need another chair.
You have to figure out.
Can someone get us another chair?
No. Oh. You'll sit up here.
No, you can't lift the bench. Oh, great.
See if we can move. Excuse me.
The first speaker on our panel this afternoon is Evan Lorendo, Vice President of the DePaul Academic Freedom Committee, who's played a very major and important role in defending the rights of Norman Finkelstein and Marine LaRudy on campus. Evan.
I want to thank everybody for coming out here. My name is Evan Lorendo. I'm an undergraduate at DePaul. And I must say that's quite an honor for me to be on stage with everyone. I also want to say that I'm representing the student voice. Not everyone that wanted to speak or has a story. We don't have the time to tell that. But I will say this. Everyone that's been involved knows that this has been an extremely transformative experience. We are not the same people that we were 4 months ago. Quickly, I find it important to point out two things. I never had Professor Finkelstein or Professor LaRudy as a teacher. I'd met Professor Finkelstein a time or two through his students. And from that, he actually came and spoke as a guest lecturer in a few of our classes. And from that, it sparked me to read a few of his things. In terms of Professor LaRudy, when I first transferred to DePaul, I was an international studies major, which is her department. Though I never had a class, I knew who she was, and when I found out that she was denied tenure as well, I was just as appalled. The second thing I must say is that I am not an activist. I would say that this title has kind of, the only way to explain it is that I feel that I kind of tripped over it and landed on it. But I feel that I am a much better person for it. And it all started actually by signing a petition last spring to give to the university stating that the students and the faculty want Professor Finkelstein on this campus. It's important to know that at that point when I signed the petition, I was coaxed into putting my email address on with my signature. And it was with that email address that the Sunday after the two professors were denied tenure, I was sent an email by the students who were for me at that point, and basically said the following day, it was the Monday, it was the first Monday of finals, that at 7 a.m. they were meeting at the president's office to stage a sit-in. After getting the email, I decided that I was going to go and attend, and if nothing else, it would give me something to do other than do my finals. So I set my alarm, and Monday morning, 6:30 rolled around. I rolled over, I hit the snooze button, figuring right then and there that academic freedom and tenure battles was absolutely nothing I really wanted to get involved with. But I woke up a few hours later and read my emails, and the email that the group had sent, and I must say this is the email that got me involved and got me to the sit-in, is, please come as soon as you can, for as many hours as you can. We will be studying, so please bring your finals work here. We are able to leave and return for finals. Priority is being here at 3 p.m. for our meeting with Father Holtschneider, who is the president of DePaul. And honestly, I showed up for figuring that I would stay for about 30 minutes. I ended up staying for 40 out of the next roughly 53 hours as we were in the office from Monday morning to that Wednesday evening. Going into it, I must say, I was someone who believed fully in DePaul. I believed in what it said and that it was genuinely a good institution. I stayed for the meeting with Father Holtschneider because I really felt that the president would come in, make a rational argument, win everyone over, offer milk and cookies, and everyone would leave satisfied. Unfortunately, this is not what happened. He walked into the room with a fake grin and from, you know, the get-go started and acted as if he talked down to everyone. I sat there just waiting for him to say something honest and truthful and not loaded with deceit, and I must say that I'm still waiting. And after an hour and a half or so of conversation, the meeting ended with Father Holtschneider actually offering us his office for as long as we needed it. So we took him up on that offer, and I had decided at that point this wanted to be something I wanted to be a part of. Because I felt tricked and fooled by DePaul itself for making me believe that it was on a higher moral ground. So we spent two nights in the office, and then we were told that when they offered us the office for as long as we wanted, that actually meant Wednesday at 5 p.m. And we had also told that if we were not out at Wednesday at 5 p.m., we had first be expelled and also arrested. So Wednesday at 5 rolled around, and sure enough, the Dean of Students was standing there with the Chicago Police Department kicking us out. They also told us that if any seniors that were graduating that were arrested would not be able to walk at graduation. It was quite Vincentian of them. So this just happens to how I got involved. Everyone has their own story. And it seems that standing up for Professor Finkelstein has become somewhat of a rite of passage for student activists over the past 6 years or so. And dating back to spring of 2002, which I believe was the end of his first year, students started battling and having a sit-in in the president's office, trying to get his contract renewed. And more currently, I really don't have time to explain, and nor do I know it well enough to explain the entire tenure process, but after the dean of liberal arts and sciences wrote a letter to the university board of promotion and tenure that was in contradiction to the college faculty's recommendation, students around 30, 35, I believe, actually protested and started the petition in which I signed. continuing on, with the onset of denial, all the students found out about not only Professor Finkelstein, but also Professor LaRudy being denied. And such, they organized a sit-in. At the sit-in, it was decided that we wouldn't be a presence at graduation. So we went to graduation, we dropped banners, and some of the graduates instead of shaking Father Holtschneider's hand, handed him a letter just stating their disgust with the situation, their disgust with the administration, and their disgust almost in their degree because they felt that it was devalued. After that, we decided that since it was summertime and many people were leaving, but we wanted to keep pressure on the university. So we met with a local activist in Chicago by the name of Kathy Kelly, and she suggested to us that we work in an educational component to our work. And so was born University Without Walls, which is basically works under the premise is if DePaul is not going to teach us, we must teach ourselves. it's been growing. It's been growing every week, and its student, faculty members come, community members come as well. And I said it's grown every week, and actually Professor LaRudy came and spoke, and her presentation was actually the gold standard, or has become the gold standard for presentations. But it's important to continue this just to put pressure on the university. Also, at that point, we asked Kathy Kelly about the proper way to fast. And myself, along with about seven or eight other students, fasted for 8 days. We were extremely transparent in all of our plans. So when the university, the day before the fast, called me into the Dean of Students' office, in which he used the word and accused us of using groupthink, and basically said that we were trying to manipulate and pressure other students into doing harm to themselves. He also pointed out that if anyone were to die, it would be our fault. I said, this is very early on in my activist career. Nonetheless, after the fast, we continued on with University Without Walls. Up until the point of around the week before classes were to start, DePaul canceled our classes. I was actually enrolled in one of Professor Finkelstein's classes. Ironically entitled Freedom and Empowerment. I figure. I'll say this. The university did it in an extremely cowardly manner. They told us that the classes were canceled and that they would find us a suitable replacement. But when I called and asked the assistant dean, I said, there is no suitable replacement for classes with Professor Finkelstein. unless if it's a class taught by Professor Finkelstein. He didn't really agree, and that was the end of that. So next came the convocation, which, if you're not familiar with that, I would summarize it as faculty get to put on gowns and get to march around campus into the church. We decided that we wanted to have a silent protest there, so we had shirts that said, "We are all Professor Finkelstein." During the march, we expected probably 10, 15, 20 students to show up. In actuality, there was about 55, 60 people that showed up because of different organizations throughout the city. And we are very, very grateful to them. I must say, during the march, I marched next to Dean Suchar. And he acted like the victim. And, of course, and he motioned over for security officers to come because he was scared. And she walked, and the security officer walked right in front of me. I didn't like this very much, so I was kicking her in the back of the foot until she finally moved out of the way. I will say this, probably what my favorite moment of the convocation, and it's overlooked, I think it was overlooked by a few people, but during the convocation, they announced the people who received tenure. And right after the letter K, Professor LaRudy stood up, like she should have, and though her name was not called, she stood up as if she had gotten tenure. I said, like she should have. I said, not very many people took note except the administration. We are now an official student group at DePaul, and we still meet every Wednesday to have an open forum that is open to everyone. As a group, we're growing and finding our purpose on campus. Originally, we were thinking about the different actions and what we could do to continue on this movement after this conference. And we were looking at different conferences that were available, and the only other conference available was something by put on by David Horowitz with the special keynote speaker of Rick Santorum. This interested none of us. So in February, we are hosting our another conference on academic freedom at DePaul. And we are also still fighting to help get Professor LaRudy tenure. And we cannot do this alone. And we need support. And with this, it's vital to identify issues that are of concern to students. But this is hard as a student when the university removes professors that challenge the norms and refuse appeasement. So just quickly, I wanted to point out a few things. I must say that if we... as students or faculty or whoever, allow this fear of speaking up and speaking out and saying what you want to say. If we allow this fear to remain unopposed, then we run the risk of having a self-censoring faculty who are not publishing and not saying what they believe. Usually, junior faculty cannot publish enough in a year or two leading up to their tenure review. But it is no secret that at DePaul, these professors are censoring themselves. What kind of environment is this? I must say, during our fast, we had a faculty member come up to us, and I think it summed up so much of what we are doing. And he said with a sense of desperation almost, and says, after seeing what they did to Maureen, we all have to worry. The fear is rising. Saying the statement, the fear is rising, on any college campus should absolutely, absolutely be unacceptable. Now, in terms of the class cancellation, this was something the administration was actually threatening all summer. And if this was something they were trying to intimidate Professor Finkelstein with, I must ask the question, when was the concern of the student brought into the equation? We as students, coupled with the professors, are the core of any university. So the thought and well-being of the students in this situation not only was rarely brought up, but we as students were forgotten about. And I find this one of the saddest aspects of the situation, and maybe it was already the case and was just not shown or proven, but DePaul has effectively said, the students do not matter, we ride roughshod over everyone. And I understand that's quite a statement, and unfortunately the administration has proven it time and time again through their actions. At a faculty meeting in July, the question arose about the negative effects of Norman Finkelstein and his tenure denial. The board said, in their words, not mine, it is not a serious issue and unlikely to impact our enrollments since we turned away a number of potential students last year. The concern of the meeting was not right or wrong, just or unjust, but rather a matter of revenue. They see it as a matter of money. And if there's attrition, the school figures it can just admit more students who previously were not good enough. So the school effectively fires two of its top professors, and to make up for it, allows students who were below par to enter the school. The administration is willing to ruin the school from both ends. There is no devotion to education, only to the increase of wealth. My last point that I just want to say, like it or not, the Academy has moved away from the principle of education. Instead, education is becoming consumerized and has transformed into the idea of consumption-based learning. With this, the idea of money has been put before the idea of education, and the institution is open to the idea of outside influence as long as it means more money. It is no longer a matter of just the professor getting paid, but rather the entire bureaucratic element must get their share. It's a machine whose sole concern is about running, not about the individual components. The biggest problem with this way is that the students and the professors are viewed. They are viewed as a part, not as the decisive component. The modern academy has become a rational institution, and unfortunately, education is not rational. Within the rational institution, every part, every component is viewed as replaceable. And with that, Norman Finkelstein and Maureen LaRudy are viewed as replaceable. And I just want to say this. Let me tell you that Norman Finkelstein is not replaceable. Maureen LaRudy is not replaceable. And, you know, honestly, I think it's time to be accountable. I want the writers of the Minority Report and those who solicited outside help to come to me, look at me face to face, and say, they are replaceable. I want all those faculty and administration who ran in fear to say, they are replaceable. I want Dean Suchar, Provost Epp, Father Holtschneider to tell me they are replaceable. They haven't and they won't because no one can hold them accountable for their shamelessness. These cowards are the people who DePaul wants, the people who want nothing but appeasement and are willing to stamp out controversy for the betterment of this appeasement. Now, please don't get me wrong, and I'm not trying to bring down DePaul. No, I think the idea of my institution is larger than any of the people that are content on ruining it. I want to see a DePaul that does great things and is harboring the free speech and not bound by money and those out for their own personal gain. That kind of DePaul is possible, and is possible by continuing to cement what it has become. I would like to thank everybody that, you know, has come out here today. I think this is absolutely, truly a remarkable event. And just, I have one last thing to say. About a month ago, we were contacted by a professor from Harvard who was doing a study on the amount of perceived freedom within the academy. And during the interview, he had asked us who had helped us out the most. And without hesitation, we said that it was our friends here at the University of Chicago, because without them, this conference would absolutely not be possible. So Suvik and Matt, without you two, we would not be standing here today. So thank you very much. And thank you for everyone coming out.